Good morning. You're tuned in to Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from your neighborhood news source, Mission Local. And happy Thanksgiving. We are out of the studio this week, but we submit for your listening pleasure an interview recorded last week about the aftermath of the presidential election. This interview was recorded with three high school students, young immigrant women who live in the Mission District and the Excelsior. They gave only their first names to protect their privacy, but they shared their perspectives on Donald Trump's campaign promises, as well as protests following the election, and ideas about how to move forward.
My name is Michelle, and I'm 17 years old.
My name is Paula, and I'm 17 years old, too.
My name's Yvette, and I'm 17 years old.
High school students have been responding really strongly to this election, and I wanted to ask all three of you, primarily for your feelings after this election. I guess my first question would be, what did you feel like? What was your first thought when you came to school on Wednesday?
So when I first heard about it, I heard like in the morning, because at night I wanted to sleep it off. And then I think my friend texted me saying, oh, Trump won. And at the time, like, I didn't react to it. Like, it was like normal for me, until there was a protest, and then I came to school the next week, and we were having a whole talk about people's fears, and that's when it really, like, kind of hit me, and that's when I started panicking, and really, I was so scared, not more because of me, but because of my family. They were all calling me and telling me how they see how this is going to change, and I was seeing that there were a lot of hate crimes right after. And to me, that just surprised me, because, like, I tell everyone I live in San Francisco, and you don't see that so much in your face. And then you kind of just realize that San Francisco is not the whole United States, and that there's a lot of racism and a lot of anti-immigrants, like, things that go on. And that kind of just, me, because I'm an immigrant, you know, that just kind of makes me sad at the same time. It's like, I don't get angry. I don't let things make me angry. They kind of more make me upset and like bring me down.
So initially I was really angry and in shock, because when the elections like were first announced, I took it as a joke, you know, like, oh, Trump was running for president, like there's no way he could win. And then when he won, I was just kind of astounded to realize that there's people in the United States that actually like agree with what like some of the things that he was saying. And like Michelle said, like, to live in San Francisco, you know, there's so much diversity, and like, you know, you don't see it as much. And then when I saw like the polls, and like to see that like which states were voting, like it really shows that like there's something, like we live in our own little bubble in San Francisco. And that's kind of what brought into my shock, to learn that like the rest of the United States doesn't like think the same way that we do.
At first, that Tuesday, I was in class with my AP history teacher, and we actually discussed this, like, what would happen if Trump won. But it was really surreal, because we were all thinking, no, like, that won't happen. And throughout the afternoon, I was really, like, you know, worried. And then I was getting, like, even more, like, worried. And then when I saw Trump actually like leading the election, it was surreal, because I was like, wow, it's such a disappointment to know that there's people out there that not only hate Latinos, but actually hate LGBT community, women's rights. Like, that's like really surreal. And for me, I was really angry. Like, I couldn't sleep the whole night. And on Thursday, I heard about many protests. These teachers actually, like, they tell you, like, what's wrong with the community, and then, like, you know, with the system, but they actually, they just don't tell you. They go with you, and they go to the protest with you. So it felt really good to walk out, not only with Latinos and other people that are not Latinos. And when I was there, I felt such, like, love, because you could see white people, black people, brown people. It was like a diversity of different colors and different, you know, races. And then there was people fighting for different things. And for me, like, at first I felt really like worried, I felt unsafe. And then after protesting with my with my teen friends and like everyone else, not only teens but adults too, it kind of like brought me back, and I was like, you know what, it's gonna be okay. We are the future for a reason, and the future is not in 10 years, in 20 years, it's now, and we're gonna change that. And you know, like now I'm still scared at the same time.
I've been hearing a lot about fear and a lot about, you know, people feeling threatened, feeling like their family is in danger. But I think it helps to hear specifics for somebody who might not understand that or who might not feel that personally. Can you talk about what it is that you're actually afraid of? What makes you feel fear about the fact that somebody elected a president like this?
Well, my fear is basically because my family and myself, like, we come from different countries, so we're immigrants in, like, this country. And to hear, like, the president of the United States say such hurtful things about people that came to this country for a brand new opportunity, you know, like, I can personally speak for myself. Like, in my country, there's poverty, there's so much violence, you know. You just want to get away from it. And just, like, many people, I know he claimed that many people from, like, Central America, Mexico, like, they're criminals, and I just completely disagree with that, because from my experience, everybody that I know that came from a different country here has to be twice as careful from the police to not get in trouble because of the fear of getting sent back. So I think his accusations are completely inaccurate to me, personally.
I fear for my family because not a lot of them, they have been working on getting legal, but, you know, it's like a process that takes so much time. And I always hear people like tell us, like, okay, if you come here, like, why don't you do it legal? And I've asked my mom, you know, and she was like, you know, I had two options. I either stayed in Mexico and let you die because I didn't have any money to feed you, or I came here illegally and gave you like a chance to at least go to school, you know. And you hear a lot of people telling you that, you know, like, just come here legally. And it's like, it's hard. It's like one of the hardest thing you can do. And I'm sorry that my mom had to, like, survive, you know. And at the same time, it's like, growing up here, I don't know Mexico. Like, I didn't grow up there. I grew up here. This is what I know is, like, my life. Like, I came to school here. I learned English. Like, everything I've learned it here. So when people tell you, like, go back to your country, well, like, what really is my country? Yeah, I was born there, but I was raised here. Like, the ideas that I've had have been in here. And it sucks that, you know, especially being a student, that I didn't learn that I was undocumented. So 2 years ago when someone asked me to give them my social security number. So that's my fear, that a lot of people are really ignorant about immigration laws, about what it's like to be an immigrant and why people do it.
Yeah, I think that's something that often gets lost, is the consequence of deportation. What actually would happen to members of your family if they had to go back to their home country?
So my mom, when Trump got elected, she said, oh, like, I have nothing to go back to. And it just really hit me, you know, our whole lives are here. And like, to hear somebody say, like, go back to your country, like, there's nothing there, you know. All our family is basically here. And personally, I'm terrified to go back because the amount of violence that I see, like, on the news from my country is just, like, it's been destroyed, basically. And I see the United States as my country because I came here, I've lived more than half my life here. You know, I'm accustomed to the life here. So if I were to go back, like, I wouldn't know what to do, or, like, you know, we wouldn't have anywhere to live also. And my mom wouldn't be able to get a job. You know, everything's, like, super hard. The economy, everything over there is just extremely hard.
Personally, my dad came here because he was going to get killed by gang members. So for me to, like, go back to that and have that fear that my dad or, like, any of us, like, you hear so much in the news, you see, like, how criminals, like, yes, there's people, like, I don't want to stereotype the whole my El Salvador, but at the same time, I want to say that there's a big issue, like, criminally, and people like Trump don't see that. They don't see that, and they just they just, they're really selfish to say, oh, just go back to your country, that's where you came from. But I like agree with both of them, because like I came here when I was 2. I have no memory of El Salvador. I have no, like, I know my family. I embrace my roots. I love being a Latina. I love being Salvadorian. But you know what? This is my home. Like, I was born and raised, not born, but I was raised in SF. And for me, like, that's a big step in my life, because, like, if people tell me, like, where's your home? SF. Like, I've been here my whole life. And for someone to just tell me, oh, you're not welcome here, it's like, how are you going to tell me that I'm not welcome here when I'm part of your economy, I'm part of your population, I'm part of what the education, like, we hear about the American dream, like, I'm living the American dream, like it or not, I'm living the American dream. Like, I came here with my family, I'm now in a better place than they were before, and he needs to see that people do not just come to the U.S. just because, I want to go to the U.S. It's a nice country. Like, no, you come here because you're going to lose your life, because you can't afford even food. Like, you need to be that desperate to come to the U.S. And for the U.S. to say, oh, we're here for you, have opportunity. And then now having someone say, no, this is our country. And if you look back in history, if you're really educated, who is really the immigrant here? We're all immigrants. So that's something that needs to be stated. And yeah.
I also see people who respond to student actions, in particular youth actions, by saying, well, they don't vote. What do they know? Why do they care? They're young, right? Yeah. Why do you care?
I mean, like I said, we are the future, and at the end of the day, like, yeah, we couldn't vote, but I would guarantee you that if we could vote, because of the education that we're getting, or that I personally am getting, like, I would never in my mind feel like it's right for Donald Trump to be president. And at the same time, it's like, we are young, and from other movements in the back, you can see that it's young people who make the first team, the first step to, you know, make a difference in a situation that we're not happy about. And I'm like, there's many students that they're like, oh, walkouts, they don't do anything. But it might not change anything. But at the same time, it feels so good to go out there and tell people, I'm proud of being brown. I'm part, like, you know, I'm part of this country too. Like, even if I'm an immigrant, like, I'm still part of your country, like it or not.
I think when people ask, why do we care? It's so dumb. Like, if you're 80, why do you care? You're going to die. It's like the same question you're asking. I think it, like, if 4 years from now, we're going to be 21, we're going to be 22. Like, this is our future, like the lives that we have to, all the laws, everything that happens in the country don't just affect everyone who's at, like, over 18. It affects every single person. So to ask a teenager and say, why do you care about elections? It's just so dumb to me. I don't get it. Yeah.
Will you be able to vote in the next election?
I can't vote, but if I had that option to, I would, even though I have a lot of opinions on why voting matters, because, you know, at the end of the day, the elections end up being basically bullshit. So, yeah.
Okay, how about you?
So I also agree with the fact that it's dumb, because they're basically undermining what we know. You know, I feel like we're more educated than, like, the next 30-year-old that just kind of votes for, like, you know, like, basically riding the wave, you know. Oh, everybody's voting for this guy, I'm going to vote for him too. Meanwhile, we're in class, like, discussing, like, with one of my teachers, we discussed, like, the props in our community, what's going to affect us, you know. And he was able to, like, teach us, like, basically so much that I didn't know before. You know, I wasn't that interested into, like, oh, who's going to get elected next? And then coming into high school, and it's, like, the teachers, how much they discuss with me, it's, like, wow, it really does matter. And going back to what Michelle said about the elections, like, being a joke, basically, I also agree with that, because, you know, I saw that a lot mostly like so many people voted for Hillary, and the electoral votes were the ones that counted the most. So they didn't listen to the people, they listened to the electoral votes, which is really just points out what something that's wrong with democracy.
Yeah.
I just think that people underestimate how young people have, like, you know, a job with this. Like, yeah, we might not have the right to vote, but right now there's elementary students suffering so many, like, accusations. Like, I heard in middle school, it's like they were chanting, build the wall, build the wall. That is so sad to hear elementary students in middle schools, like, chanting that. Like, it's so, like, I grew up in a community that, you know, there was a lot of, like, Chinese people. There was a lot of, like, Latinos in my community. And it's so diverse that I'd never thought about racism until middle school. So having young people, like, the target of, like, you know, all of this hate, like, it's so sad for the community. So do not tell young people to not care, to not, like, you know, voice your opinion. Because at the end of the day, like Michelle said, in 20, 30, 40 years, you guys are not going to be here. We're going to be here. We're going to be dealing with it. And we will deal with it because we are educated enough to go on and know that it's not okay for someone to call us so many hateful things. And not only Latinos, I'm talking about, like, women, gay people, like, everyone. It's so, like, there's so many groups that were targeted. And so I don't understand how people could, like, you know, be like, oh, that's okay, because it's not. Like, it's really not.
The flip side of this is that people are complaining that students are being coached into believing, having certain political belief. I don't know if you guys saw, there was a news story about how this syllabus went around the United Educators of San Francisco, where somebody was, like, suggesting certain things, certain materials that should be used to talk about Donald Trump. Do you think you're being coached?
I think we're being told the reality of the country, personally, because you hear a lot of people say, oh, like, this is the greatest country, you know, but personally, in my school, we get told the facts, you know, and, like, we get the chance to voice our opinion basically on what we believe. You know, you could believe, like, oh, Trump is the best president or he's not. You know, that's your opinion. I just think we're being taught the reality of this country. Our teacher also mentioned the fact that some teachers aren't being allowed to basically talk about the election, which I think is very wrong to do to a kid, you know, like, they're just trying to, like, voice their opinion or, you know, let everything out from what they believe in what happened. And to basically block that out from your system of education is completely wrong.
I think, I don't know what they mean by being coached, because to me, being coached is when you tell someone do it and you have to do it. But I think when we talk about Trump in class, we get quotes from him saying you can't really coach a quote. If we're literally listening to what he had to say, we've heard his speeches, we've heard his plans, we did a lot of research on his team and who he actually, like, got on his team. And now when you hear people tell you, like, oh, you're being fed lies, I'm not. I'm actually looking at facts. I'm looking at the things that he has said, like, and it's not just at school. I've looked at videos on Facebook. There was a lot of media videos on him on the news, and I think, like I said, people underestimate the fact that 17s, 18s, 16s year olds are able to form their own opinion based on what they hear.
We've talked about the effects of the Trump presidency on immigrants. He's made some statements about women as well, and there are concerns among women. What are your concerns, if you have any? What is it that you think in terms of women's rights that needs to be fought for and addressed now?
I've heard that he wants to, like, repeal, you know, the abortion laws and, like, all with the birth control, you know. That's what really concerns me, because I know there's a lot of rape victims, even, like, you know, there's, like, only the ones that have been reported, but there's so many. And I've heard that Mike Pence says that, like, if a woman gets pregnant because she was raped, like, she should have the baby. And, like, I think that's really wrong for you to choose what a woman has to do with her body, you know. It's her choice. If, like, to deny them the right to, you know, like, let's say they're not ready for a baby, you're basically telling them to bring a baby into, like, this world, and it's just gonna, you know, it's gonna have negative repercussions on the baby, you know, in the next generation. And as for the birth control, I've seen an article talking about how you should get birth control before Trump starts his presidency. And, you know, that really shows how scared women are, you know. It's like, you gotta be prepared for the next 4 years.
I don't even think that if a rape victim wants to get an abortion, like, I think every woman who wants to get an abortion and feels like they're not ready for a kid, they should be able to do it. And I agree that some people are pro-life and they're like, I wouldn't get an abortion, then that's great, don't get one. But let other people, like, have their own opinion and do what they want. And going off of that, like, there's going to be so much overpopulation coming from that. Like, just imagine, I know that people are not going to not have sex. So I think encouraging them to practice safe sex and keeping themselves safe, and since they don't want a pregnancy, is, like, one of the best things that's, like, has happened recently. And for someone to be like, well, you know, I'm a guy who knows so much about women's rights, and we don't think we should have this, just, it doesn't make sense to me.
It's just, for me, it's really sad because I see a lot of women empowerment. Like, I've grown up with the idea that, you know what, I'm a woman, I can do whatever I want. But now it's so, like, mind-blowing, because now there's someone out there, and not only just one person, but there's people that agree with him that think that women shouldn't have the right for their body. Your body is your body. My body, I'm going to do whatever I want with my body. And no one, no precedent, no one that I don't know should have any right to say what I should do with my body. And, like, I don't think the government should have any say on what someone that they don't even know, like, have a say on what they do. Because that's, for me, that's, like, my private life. There's so much work that we need to do as a country. People think that today it's so perfect that women have whatever they want, Latinos have whatever they want, but it's not true. It's not true at all. Like, we still need a fight, and this Trump presidency, it just shows how much work we need to do as women and how we can't be fighting against each other, but we need to, like, stand together and not only fight Trump, but everyone else that agrees with him.
Well, speaking of people who agree with him, I think there's a lot of journalists certainly are very interested right now in who voted for this guy and how, you know, there are counties that were heavily Obama supporting and they flipped to Trump. And there's people in, you know, the rural parts of America who don't consider themselves racist, don't consider themselves sexist. They sort of balk when you accuse them of that. But they did vote for Trump, and they just don't see him that way. And not only are they somewhere out in the Midwest, 10% of San Francisco voted for Trump. How do you go forward living with those people around you? What do you say to them? How do you think, you know, the community should address that?
So in the protest, we were protesting and peacefully, and I heard chants like, fuck Trump, fuck everyone that supports him. But we literally stopped everything. We were like, no, we're not here to hate anyone. We're all brothers and sisters. And at the end of the day, I personally feel kind of bad for them, because they come from a perspective, maybe from their families, maybe because they're wealthy, maybe because they have religion views. And, you know, they kind of, like, support him for different reasons. But at the same time, we can't stand here fighting against each other, because that's what they want. That's what the system wants. They don't want us to get together. Like, we were talking today in class even, that the system doesn't want us to, you know, like, they want us to categorize each other with, like, you know, with racist things, and then, like, you know, women's and stuff like that. Like, no, we all need to come back together, women, men, every race. And, you know, we can't be hating on each other. We need to educate each other. We need to love each other, because that's what we need. There's so, what's the deal with, you know, telling someone, like, you know, fuck you, like, whatever, like you're stupid. Like, no, stop the hate. You need to stop. Like, in social media, I see so much bullying, like, you know, saying, like, Trump supporters come to people that, you know, that they might be, like, in jeopardy of immigration. They come and they, like, post comments like, oh, go back to your country. And then at the same time, I see people, maybe Latinos, like, saying, oh, fuck this, like, you know, saying hurtful things. And I don't think that's, like, smart. Like, that's just gonna, like, I know this quote, it's, an eye for an eye will leave us all blind. And that is so true, because at the end of the day, we're all gonna kill each other. And then the system is just gonna be like, we told y'all, like, you know.
I think just as much as I hated the fact that Trump stereotype or generalized all immigrants or all Latinos, I won't do the same to, like, someone who supports him. I know that not all of them are racist, maybe a couple, I really don't know. What I do think is that they're in somewhat ignorant about a lot of the things, and I would understand why they would vote for someone like that. I mean, he did talk about a lot of, like, we were just talking about this in class too, like, not all Latinos are the same, because he did get the 20% vote. And, you know, that's as much as I'm like, why would you do that? I understand that not all Latinos identify the same, not all of them think that, you know, Trump is racist, or that he made pretty awful comments about Latinos. So I think that, I don't think they're racist. I don't think they're sexist. Like you said, I just think they're really ignorant on a lot of the things that he has said. They're also ignorant on the things that he's going to do. I've read a lot of comments on Facebook too, where people are like, well, you don't know what Trump is really going to do. You should really look into his politics. Like, I have done that. I think that you have done it? I don't think so. So that's kind of my take on it. Like, as much as they tell us that we're ignorant for, you know, not knowing who Trump really is, I think they're ignorant for not knowing who he truly is.
This election basically put so many people against each other, and the majority is basically, like, whites versus, like, minorities. And I don't think we should, like, say, like, oh, fuck, like, people that voted for him. I think we just need to inform them better on, like, basically what they did, you know. Like, yeah, they may agree on, like, let's say, like, a plan that has nothing to do with the races, but you have to think, like, you may have voted for that one policy, but you also voted for the rest, you know. Like, maybe he has a better economic plan, but you also need to keep in mind that he also wants to, you know, ban Muslims, send immigrants to their countries. You know, you're not supporting just one thing. You're basically backing up, like, all the things that he wants to do while he's president.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of this week's program. We'll be back 2 weeks from now, most likely with a live in-studio broadcast of news and notes from the neighborhood. Thanks for listening.